this song here, we've been rehearsing it for a while. Sometimes we think we're not too comfortable with things. But we must remember that this is a rehearsal down here. We're not going to be ready until we get up there. I know that for myself. All I do down here is practice. I'm getting ready. I fall by the way sometimes. We all do. But we have to keep our heads up. Keep our heads up. That's right. Don't give up.
Strength to endure, Jesus said, be still. I Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that there are those who know you, because we decided to put our faith and our confidence in you. You brought us through difficulties and dangers, trials and tribulations, but you have always brought us through. Because your word is out that you will never leave us, nor will you ever forsake us. We pray today, Lord, if there should be anyone here today that have not tried you, help them to know what they're missing and what's available to them, because you never leave us, you never forsake us. You supply our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the praise that have been given you, because you are worthy of the very best we can give. Thank you, Lord, that even children praise you. Thank you, Lord, that all young people have not gone in the wrong direction. Thank you for those that have been saved by your grace, kept by your power, blessed by your blessings. And we pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Today I've chosen to talk to us about lessons on leadership. Lessons for Christian leadership. Thank God that the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God for the confidence that he has in us, that he will allow us to be a part of the evangelizing, developing, and discipling those who will come to him. Because you have said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Thank God that in times like these, when danger is all around us, difficulties overwhelm us, that we can cast our cares upon him, because he cares for us. He knows our pain. He knows our sorrow. He knows our struggles. He knows our difficulty. He knows our doubt sometimes. But I tell you, if we cast our cares upon him, we will discover that nobody could ever care for us like Jesus. He's worthy of our praise. Aren't you glad we've been praising God today? But lessons about Christian leadership. I joined the Army in December 1950. I didn't really know what it was all about, but I figured it would be better than anything I could find anywhere else, so I chose to go into the Army. This was not the army of the Lord, it was the army of our nation. And so I joined in 1950. I was given a first sergeant. He knew every command, every challenge, every doubt, every difficulty. And I thought he knew everything and that he was in charge of everything. He told us when to get up, go to bed, when to shine our shoes, thought out when it was time for us to come out in formation. He gave all the commands, and nobody was given any commands. And it appeared that he better not try to give any commands, because he was the one that was to do that. And I promise you, he would give those commands with firm demands, not commands almost, but demands. And he expected us to move, and if we didn't, there would be consequences. He was, in my judgment, the leader. He had some cuss words, didn't mind using them. He was a man that you made, you better do what you were commanded to do. But I learned later on that he was not really the one that was in command. He was under the command of a commander. Yes, sir. And I finally learned the difference in the two. Sometimes we who have become children of God act like there's no one over us, no one above us. We are the one to give the orders and want everybody to jump. And sometimes, like I said, we feel like we are the ones, and we almost leave him out of the equation because we think we are in command. And I thought you have known those just like I have. I want to talk today about leadership, Christian leadership. First thing I want you to notice here in this text that I share today is the commission in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead this people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River in the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south and the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east and the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore unto their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate them all day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do." Our instructions come from a commander, and we are to follow those commands not partially but completely. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God has spoken, there should be action. We should know that he doesn't lead us in a wrong direction, because he's not confused about the way, because he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody will come to the Father except by me." The first thing that we understand is the commission. We are a commissioned people. And I recognize it was not my first sergeant that was commissioning me. There was a higher authority that had given him the commission. And what he was doing was giving instruction connected and a part of the commission that had been given him and given to all of us. So first of all, we ought to understand the great commission that come from a great God with great power and great love for those that he assigned the responsibility to. Second thing I want you to notice is the commander in verse 9. And here's what he said: "This is my commandment. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I'm so thankful that we can be through dangers, toils, and snares, that we already come, but it's grace that brings us safe thus far, and it's grace that will keep on leading us all the way along this journey. I am so thankful today that we have a commander, not a suggester, but a commander. He doesn't give just instructions. He gives directions. He gives commands and expects us to stand up and do what he tells us to do. Even in the Army, where I was in the military, we had to do what we were told to do. And certainly, we did what we were supposed to do, or there were consequences. What troubles me in the Church of the Living God, we act like God gives suggestions. And like he would say, "I would kind of like it if you'd come to church. I'd kind of like it if you use your gifts for my glory. I'd be real pleased if you'd be kind enough to respond to what I have challenged you to do." I hope that you and I understand we have a commander who is the authority, who makes promises that he will never fail, and he can do for us what nobody else can do. We have a commander that gives orders, not mere suggestions. And I know we become too comfortable in the house of God. We do what we please rather than what he commands. And I tell you, that's the reason why I really believe that the world is in the condition that it's in, because those of us who are Christian, those of us that have been born again, those of us that are under the lordship of Jesus Christ, we are to stand up for Jesus like soldiers of the cross. I think I said something then. God expects us to trust and obey, because there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And I see folk that only get happy most of the sometime. They're not happy, but get happy every now and then. If the right song is sung the right way to the right tune and all of that, we might just get happy, but we ought to get up in the morning and say, I'm happy in Jesus. He watches over us and cares for us. We have a commander, not a suggester. Second thing I want you to notice is the confrontation. And I want you to look at this. You heard the command that had been given to Joshua, how clear they were. But then I want you to look at chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. I want us to take a look at this. First thing I want you to notice here is, in this part, I want you to notice the confrontation, verse 13. It says, when Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, are you friend or foe? Or foe? The confrontation. Who are you? Are you on my side? Are you a friend or foe? And keep in mind, we're talking about the commander. Lord have mercy. He'd already told him that I would be with you. He already said that I will supply your needs. He's already made these promises. So he has to confront Joshua, a great servant of God, but yet he had to be confronted. At this, Joshua fell on his face to the ground in reverence. I am at your command, Joshua said. What do you want your servant to do? Have you ever asked God that? What do you want your servant to do? Not telling God what you're going to do, but asking, what do you want your servant to do? If you are a servant of God, if you are a saved person in the family of God, we are called to serve. Yes, sir. I like that song. It said, a charge to keep, I have a God to glorify who gave his son my soul to save and fit it for the sky, to serve this present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my power engage to do my master's will. Have you come to that yet? He does not say have your own way, but have thine own way, Lord, in our lives. The confrontation. Now, here's where I'm trying to get to on this lesson in leadership. The correction. The commander said, neither one. He said, are you friend or foe? He said, neither one. He replied, I am the commander of the Lord's army. That's who I am. And that's what you need to understand. You have been charged, but you're not in charge. I don't know if you got that or not. Some of us get a position, we are charged, but we are not really in charge. Ultimately, there's one greater than I. He is the one that gives the commission. He is the one that can back it up, and he knows what he's talking about. So he says, I am neither one of those. I am, and I am so glad, I am the commander of the Lord's army. Now keep in mind, he's not talking about one company or one battalion. I am the commander of the whole Lord's army. And we are soldiers in the army of the Lord, and we are under commission to do what God has called us to do. Now, I like this part. The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your shoes." His correction. Here comes the correction. The commander of the Lord's army said, "Take off your sandals or your shoes, for the place where you stand on are standing on holy ground." And Joshua did as he was told. Now, what does this mean? What is all this about taking off some shoes because you're on holy ground? Let me tell you, shoes had him just a little bit higher. Come on now. Some of us can get just a little too high. God ain't about being barefoot. But sometimes we rise just a little bit higher. Assume just a little bit too much authority. Give too many personal commands that don't even compare to the command that have been given to us by the Lord. Take off your shoe. He said, "I am the commander. You are the one that carry out the command, but I'm the commander." Lord, how much? You know, there are too many bosses in the church. Can I get a witness here? Give them a little bit of authority, and guess what? I mean, they're going to try to command everything and forget about what's in the Word of God. I am always concerned about this. I tell you what, we ought to live our lives according to the one that knows what he's talking about, has the power to do what he says he's going to do, can do for us what nobody else can do. I'd rather him be in charge. I was glad in the army when I found out that Shoemaker, the cussing sergeant, wasn't the one in charge, but there was somebody bigger than he that's in charge. And I'm glad to know today that God is in charge today. I'm glad to know today that he can do what nobody else can do. I'm glad today. I rejoice. God can raise children up to be followers of him. God can take young people to bring glory to God. Aren't you glad about that? We got some folks that need to take off some shoes. Long as I've been in the ministerial assignment that God gave to me, there's always going to be somebody want to rise up and be in charge. Can I get a witness? And have something to suggest that does not fit into the Word of God? But I want to tell you, we ought to stop thinking we are so powerful and we are so wise and that we are so right and correct that we don't even need for God to tell us what to do and we forget what's in charge. I'm getting ready to sit down. I've just about said enough. But I'm so glad that I understand my role. Can I get a witness? I know preachers that would stand in the pulpit and basically say, "My way or the highway." Do you know what I'm really trying to say? I know that they would stand here and give demands, not commands. Can I get a witness? In God's house, I reckon I am blessed. Sometimes I can't understand how God could love me so much and give me such a privileged role to try to lead people in the path of righteousness. I don't understand. Sometimes even now and then, I used to ask God, "Why have I found grace in your eyes? I'm just a little nobody from almost nowhere with nothing, don't know much. Can I get a witness?" And yet God is a merciful God. God is a loving God, and God called me to do what I try to do, but then he said, "Take off your shoes now." Don't you give orders? Don't you think that you're in charge of everything? I'm getting ready to sit down, but I'm just rejoicing today because something has got a hold of me. Help me, somebody. And there's no doubt about it. I know it's the Holy Spirit of the living God. And I have said this before. I'm so glad that he walks with me. And wherever I am, I'm not alone because he walks with me. And I don't have to worry about being by myself. Because nobody's with me, because he also talks to me and tells me to listen and every now and then shut up so you can hear what I'm saying. I'm getting ready to sit down now, but aren't you glad to give God some glory in the house of God? Give God some praise. He's worthy of all the praise and honor that can be given to him. I rejoice in the Lord. Y'all know what? I'm old in number, but I'm young in the spirit of Almighty God. Somebody asked me, "Reverend, when you going to retire?" I ain't even got it on my list. I'm going to try to be there until the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many, and I'm going to rule under his rules. Now give God glory. That's the message. For all of us, we're privileged to be assigned responsibilities, but he's in charge. He's the commander. Stand for the invitation.
Hymn number 290.
If you are here today without Christ, don't leave without Christ. He's in the saving business. Haven't you been blessed today? Our wonderful children, our young adults. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a blessing today. What praise have been given to God today. But I want us to praise him even after we leave this place. But if you're here without him, you come today. If you have a special need in your life about which you need to pray, I have someone pray with you. That's why they're here. The invitation is extended. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Don't miss the opportunity. Sing that together. You want to get closer to God. Gracious Father in heaven, it's easy to drift and put distance between yourself and us. There are so many challenges, so many issues to deal with, and we don't even realize we're slipping a little further and further away from you. Lord, help us to realize whether or when we've done that. And help us to realize, Lord, you want to draw us closer to you. And I'm praying right now, Lord, should there be anyone that has sort of drifted, saved, yes, blessed, yes, but have sort of drifted, taken too much in their own hands. Lord, if there's any person here under that condition, I pray right now, Lord, that the Spirit of God will prompt him or her to come now and just admit and demonstrate the fact that they have drawn a little further away from you because of the enticing things of this world. And God, I pray that you'll just, if anybody's here, Lord, I pray that you would convict their spirit and help them to know that they need you desperately. We pray this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we continue. You out there, come on. The invitation is open. If you just want to get a little closer. Instruments, continue playing. Instruments, will you may be seated. Instruments, continue to play. Counsel is being given. Prayers are being prayed. Encouragement is being given. Directions are being given. Movement of the Spirit is evident. It won't be too late when the benediction has been said. His arms are still stretched wide. The invitation is still open. Even when we would have departed this place, he commissions us to go and represent him in a dark and dangerous world. I pray, therefore, that the Spirit of the living God will not only dwell with you, but that you will be governed and guided by his presence and by the counsel that is given and the directions that are given. And now, Lord, we thank you for all that has occurred. And we pray that as we leave this place, that the words of our mouths, and we do talk a lot, that there be words of care, words of comfort, words of correction, whichever would be appropriate for the occasion. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. You are indeed our Lord, and you are our strength. Moreover, Lord, you are our Redeemer, because there is no other name under heaven given among men or mankind, whereby we must be saved, except the name of Jesus. We depart this place, knowledgeable, conscious of your presence, and amen.